This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along. We're going to be talking about tourism this hour on the program, and we are going to look ahead at the fall here in the Valley and see what it holds for us all, as well as for visitors coming in from outside the area. We're joined by Andrew Miller, who heads up the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau. Also, Otto Karishian is with us. He's with the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau. Together, they cover our listening area, and we thank them for being with us on the program. Let's start today by looking at the history of all this. How has the industry changed?
I think the biggest change, and it's not so much just systemic to our destination, it's everywhere, it's the industry. It's just the way we market to people now. Everything is going digitally, online. The one fact that I like to quote, when you look back in 2009, there were 3.5 million Google searches a year. In 2018, that went to 20.4 million searches every minute.
Wow. So that's...
So I guess everyone's online. Everyone's wired in. You can reach anybody you want right through their phone. And I think that's the future. And everyone can do it. That's the best thing, because it is relatively inexpensive to do it. You're discussing almost any topic, and you don't, and someone asks a question, well, what about this? And everyone looks at each other. Boom, you pick out your phone and you get your answer right there on the spot. And that's sort of our industry.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree that the internet and smartphones and everything have completely changed the way people get their information, look for information, and the way that we market. I think also, you know, married with that is how the economy has changed. You know, we saw an economy tank in 2008 and 2009, you know, that is now just about 10 years later. And I think what we saw came out of that was this whole staycation thing and people taking day trips and traveling nearby. And I think because we're such easily accessible, affordable destinations, that I think we got an audience of wallet-conscious travelers that I think discovered us, that through the word of mouth also spread the word that, hey, listen, you don't have to travel that far to find a destination where there's a lot to do that doesn't cost a lot of money. But I also think that what has happened over the last decade is you've seen the Commonwealth reduce its marketing line item to market the Commonwealth and be competitive. And I think what's happened during that time period is an awful lot of the county destination marketing organizations stepped up and through their marketing efforts put themselves on the map, and they basically became the backbone, I think, of marketing the Commonwealth. So I think, you know, all the DMOs throughout the Commonwealth ended up, you know, having a really big part in capturing an audience during a time period when the state wasn't marketing us as they probably could have.
This is economically fantastic for this area. How big of a boost does that give us?
When we ask our people, we do return on investment studies every 3 years, and we ask our people why they're visiting us and what they find attractive. And the number one reason is because it's quaint, because it's beautiful. It's that rural setting that that's the experience they're looking for. So in a way, that's a positive, and it's something we'll have to address and how you manage that, because you do want to grow the industry, you do want to grow the economic benefits to your region, but you can't do that at the cost of losing your number one reason people are coming here. So it's sort of a tightrope to walk. And as far as our numbers are concerned, I know from the latest figures we have from the state only go up to 2016. In that 10 years prior, from 2006 to 16, our numbers have gone up 20.9%. The amount of money people are spending has gone up a total of 20.9%. That's above the inflation rate too. So we are growing, we are attracting people. It's just an experience that is geared to a certain effect more on our natural beauty than anything else.
I mean, when we did a branding study, one of the things that came out that was clear to go with what Otto says is we have this authentic sense of rural Pennsylvania, a rural American life, like a very Norman Rockwell existence. And the thing about it was to be forewarned not to overmarket it or dress it up too much, because then you end up creating a cookie cutter environment, and it's the authenticity and the organic nature that people discover that really is the charm that's there. So we have to be really careful. And I know that what we do is sometimes we have a lot of people coming to the area and asking, you know, where are the Amish, where are the Mennonite? And we don't have a map. You know, we don't have a driving tour. We will tell them what routes to go to discover it, but we don't want to overmarket the charm of the area. We want people to discover it. And then during the same time period with the local economic impact report for Snyder, Northumberland Union County in 2016, visitor spending was $378 million. That's huge. And then when you go back in the last decade, I double checked, and visitor spending in the last 10 years has increased in the Tri-County area by $87 million. So it is growing, it is building. And also in this economic report, a lot of the larger destinations took a hit, and our both destinations actually saw an increase during a time period. So I think that charm is paying off.
Yeah, I think half of the regions, because we're a 5-county region,
right.
We're the smallest region and the newest region actually as well. And we're one of, there's 11 regions in the Commonwealth, and 5 of them saw an increase and 6 of them saw a decrease. And we were one of the 5 that saw an increase.
Now you mentioned the quaintness. There are certainly other things about the area that kind of become your niche. Like that's what draws people in. And anything in this area that a lot of people now are saying, hey, we go there for this.
Knoebels is the first thing.
Yeah, Knoebels ultimately. I mean, they bring in, you know, just shy, a little less than 2 million people. And, you know, for those that are smart, we love the fact that Knoebels here and that it's family owned and win all the awards. It's also a great way to introduce the rest of the region, you know, to these millions of people that come in. And so, you know, we really try to get them to come in and discover and explore more than the area. But, you know, we're thrilled that Knoebels is here.
And it is, if I can interrupt that, carryover of that brand, that picturesque, nice, value, family-oriented region that we are. So it ties in perfectly.
Plus, we're really blessed, too, that between, you know, with the 5 counties in our area, that we have universities. So with that universities comes this arts and culture that a rural environment may not have. For instance, you know, if we were in the middle of the Midwest somewhere and had this great, you know, rural charm, when you add the arts and culture to that, when you add, you know, the families and friends that are coming and visiting the relatives and students, you have these return people that come in that want something to do. They come in during time periods or having alumni weekend. If you have a couple festivals that are going on or farmers markets, that adds to the charm, and you keep building your fan base.
And then as well, just our assets, the state assets like Ricketts Glen State Park. I mean, again, that after Knoebels, you know, it's our natural attractions that really bring people in, and again, they sell themselves.
And interestingly enough, in this 2016 study, is that we were number 2 in the state for recreation, and that has been increasing. So these natural assets, the state parks, the canoeing, the kayaking, you know, the ATVing and Anthracite Outdoor Adventure, that's all growing. I think the only thing we're going to see in this area is outdoor recreation is just going to keep increasing.
And I think we have to be careful not to disparage the Poconos, but the Poconos became so overbuilt. Though their branding now almost is on that water park theme versus the natural beauty. And I think that opens the door for us on the natural beauty. We just have to be careful that we don't kill Mother Nature.
We are seeing more people coming from the Poconos areas for weekends. Just I think there are a lot of locals just wanting to get out for a day trip and explore.
Okay. And before we went on tape here, I was talking to Otto about what we did this summer. And the one thing I did was I drove to Lancaster on my own because my wife and daughter would not be into history. But I went to the President Buchanan birthplace. Never been there. Lived, 90 minutes away my whole life. But things like that sometimes you don't even think of are in your area. And certainly there's a lot of that here, too, as far as history that history lovers are going to come to see.
Yeah, our heritage that, you know, we promote, obviously, with our logo and everything, and it's just part of our brand almost, is our covered bridges. And then on top of that, this particular summer, we started it for the first year. It's currently running. It has another couple of weeks till it ends. But starting in May, we ran a Heritage Passport program. And we had about 11 assets that we asked people to visit. And again, prizes will be awarded at the end once all the passports, the completed passports, are turned in.
I mean, I think it's pretty amazing. I mean, and people tend to forget, for instance, you know, that Buchanan's only 90 minutes away, and you know who it was. And, you know, I'm sure it was interesting and intriguing and exciting to discover that. I'm sure you learned a lot. And I think we tend to ignore what's in our own backyard because we see the museum sides over and over and over again. And we need to remind ourselves that in order to know who we are today, we need to look at where we came from. And at one point, we were a colony. And this part of Pennsylvania was, you know, the wild, wild west of America as the colonies were expanding into the west. So, you know, you see the forts that are around, and they were part of that, you know, for the, you know, French and Indian War and the American Revolution. And, you know, our rivers were key in protecting the company and the country and expanding the country. And a lot of the massacre signs that we see, you know, have to do with battles that as Indians were pushed out of their areas, you know, south and east of us, they were forced to go through these areas. And it's a very intriguing story that I think would surprise an awful lot of people, what our past really is. And I mean, I encourage people to go and visit their, you know, historic sites and museum, because I can guarantee you're going to learn more.
And the here in Danville, the Heritage Festival brings people in, too. That's probably become a pretty big draw in the summer.
Absolutely, yeah. Van Wagner's done an unbelievable job of reviving that and bringing it back to life. And he's such, and I think the reason why is a glowing example of what we try to do with our own destinations overall, or any DMO tries to do, which is market the experience. And he, being a school teacher, that's what he's great at doing. He's great at reenacting and putting you back into that time frame and showing you how things operated back in the 1800s. And I think that's our goal, is to create that experience for the visitor and say, this is why you need to do it, because everybody wants to be the first. Everyone wants to share it on their social media. Yeah. And say, hey, look what I did here.
Interestingly enough, this year was the 250th anniversary of the anthracite coal industry, which is huge, to play on that. And what we ended up doing is we ended up partnering with Bucknell University, who did a whole series and studies years ago. And we developed a website, anthracite250.com, that shares the history and shares an awful lot of Bucknell research, where people can actually trace their genealogy. They can go and look at the waves of immigrants that came in that still impact the food that we have at restaurants in the area and at Coal Region, and, you know, how it changed our whole entire communities and cultures, you know, in the last 250 years.
Okay. This is why we have you guys back a couple times a year, because you got me right now wanting to go start doing some of these things, because you just forget what all is out there, or sometimes you're not even aware of it.
Right. It's that lack of awareness.
Now, fall is a big time, too. I don't know if it's your second biggest, but it's definitely a lot going on around here in the fall. And I think first thing that comes to my mind is the Covered Bridge Festival, which went from small town event to massive in the last 20 some years.
The fall, I think, for both our regions is our number one time for visitors to come. We love the fall. Okay. Our hotels are filled, and lots of agritourism type of based product is having events. You know, in our area, it's the Pondus Farms, it's the Roar Box, the Forks Farms, the Coles Tree Farm. There's mazes and
yeah,
farmers markets, and it's really truly a spectacular time. And then if you want to, I'm sure you're going to get into the leaf peepers and everything like that.
Yeah, it's our second busiest season, and it's growing in popularity. And I just looked at my list. Between the beginning of September and just the beginning of October, we alone have 14 festivals in our area. It's a favorite time of year for people to have festivals, wine festivals, corn mazes at Ard's Farm Market and Cole's Stony Hill Tree Farm and Pondus, yep, and, you know, just hay rides and pumpkin patches, the whole thing for the family. You're going to see an awful lot of outdoor events and 5Ks going on. I think the interesting thing is going to see what the visitation is this fall, having had such a rainy summer. Now, when we've talked to our members, it doesn't seem to have been too bad. It'll be interesting to see how Knoebels took a hit with all the rain, obviously, with the flood and the challenges that they've had. It's going to be very interesting to see what the visitation is this fall. I would not be surprised if it goes up because people need to get the vacations in before the end of the year. And if we get a break from the rain, I think they're going to get out and explore. Now, peak weekend for us in Pennsylvania, this region, is October 15th. And the big question is, how is the rain going to impact the colors? Everybody's trying to figure out what that's going to be. And I hope that sense of curiosity drives people just to, you know, get out in the roads and drive. And
it seems to have the corn I've had so far that's just starting to get harvested has been awesome. I pass a lot of pumpkin patches on the way to work every morning. And there were some that were obviously affected negatively by the floods, but I'm seeing some rather really extremely large pumpkins in the pumpkin patch. So I'm hoping it affects it all positively, and I'm hoping we have a brilliant, colorful fall season.
Yeah.
And that's something that's been going on for forever. I mean, I remember, 40 years ago as a kid, my parents would take us out on a Sunday afternoon to see the leaves in the fall. So that hasn't changed, though, despite all the other changes we've seen. Anything big new this fall you want to throw in there that maybe either hasn't happened before or just, you know, kind of a big event in your area that you want people to be aware of?
Well, one of the things that our Visitors Bureau are doing is we're the title sponsor of a new gravel endurance race that's going to kick off at the Miller Center in Lewisburg, and you can sign up for 30, 60, 90, or 120 miles. It is the group of people that when younger, they would go crazy and do really the hardcore mountain biking, and now they have families, they like to kick back and relax, but they still want to push their limits and be with like-minded people. So it's the inaugural year for that. It's the weekend. It's actually Sunday, October 14th. It's called Unpaved of the Susquehanna River Valley because it's on gravel road race. We have over about 500 people have registered from all over the country. We're really excited about that. One of the things that we're most excited about is to introduce this whole group of people to outdoor recreation in the area, and they specifically wanted to come in fall because the two other events that are like this in the United States are held during the summer. So we're marrying the perfect time of year with the charm of the area and the color of the area. That's one of the new big things in our area.
And I think from our perspective, it's most certainly not new, but I think it has revived itself tremendously is the Holiday Boulevard in Berwick. It definitely had fallen on some tough times. And I would say starting about 2 or 3 years ago, a new group has taken that over and they've really embraced it. And look for that to be what it used to be is the best way I can. So if you had been visiting the Boulevard for years as a child and then you stopped going because that's old hat, no, go back because it's going to be tremendous. They're adding a lot more automated figures and scenery within the Boulevard, and they really have stepped up the game. The community came together and have really supported that. So I would say that would be the number one thing that I would recommend people in our area for.
I'm in that boat too. Also, as a kid, every year
back in the back of the way back of the station wagon, my sister and I would have a blanket and we would just watch with bug eyes all the lights. So that's great.
You got those cold potato chips? Remember that?
They're still doing. We're still passing out potato chips.
Great. Yeah, that's. I wouldn't want to drop that part. That's like part of the program. All right. For more information on the local tourism, your agencies, if you just want to put in a plug there where we can find you to keep on top of everything.
Go ahead.
Okay. We're at www.itourcolumbiamontour.com. Just Google CMVB. We'll come up to the top of the search, or we better. That's our job.
Yeah,
and,
really.
I say that because I know that was going to be the fact. And we have an app as well. You can download and always have everything right on your phone, right at your fingertips.
To visit us, go to www.visitcentralpa.org. I would say go to our calendar of events, which is huge. So you can check out all the fall festivals and wine festivals. There's a bacon festival, all the fall foliage tips and driving routes. And also check us out on Facebook. Our event page on Facebook is really big with lots of great pictures and information for more fall fun.
We've been talking with Andrew Miller and Otto Karishian with the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau and the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau, respectively. They cover our listening area as they promote tourism and let us all know what's going on right here in our backyard. Thanks for being with us on the program, gentlemen. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.